cancer and what to look out for is something that you might be well aware of, particularly when it comes to checking yourself, for instance. But what about your children? Would you know what signs they'd show if they had cancer? Brian and Michelle Hatherley from Ketley found out just in time after their son, who's now six, fell ill 3 years ago with leukemia. At first, they thought he was just feeling under the weather. In fact, not even the doctors spotted it straight away. But Brian Hatherley's now campaigning to raise awareness of childhood cancers. In a minute or so, you can hear from a doctor about how hard it can be to spot signs of serious illness in children. But first of all, here's a reminder of the Hatherley story.
James has to have chemo tablets every day, which is fantastic at taking. I mean, he hates Thursdays because he has about 12 tablets to take, but he takes them and administers them. I put them, you know, on the side and he takes them. And once a fortnight we go for what he calls the thumb prick, which they just check his bloods and give him just a general checkup. And then the once a month he goes for intravenous chemo. So...
That's bad.
Which James doesn't like very much, do you, James?
The biggest problem that we found is that there's not enough awareness of childhood cancer. I mean, childhood cancer kills more children than any other illness, yet there's no government funding to raise awareness. There's no websites where people can go on and just look up the symptoms of all the different forms of childhood cancer. So what we've done is, by setting up the charity, we've put together the website where parents can access all the symptoms, what they're looking for. You know, we've got support site on there, so if they need to speak to parents that have experienced cancer with their children, they can do. So it's, you know, it's a site that, you know, we're not out to panic anyone, you know, but childhood cancer is more common than people think.
Well, they are. Just the thought of cancer can make anybody anxious, can't it? Adults, you know, that's taken as read. But where children are concerned, it's a different ballgame altogether. Dr. Hamish Wallace is the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health Oncology spokesman, and he's on the line to us right now. Dr. Wallace, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
You know, children, they go up and they go down, don't they? And they come down with illnesses all the time, and mostly they're relatively harmless. When should parents be worried that something might be seriously wrong?
Well, this is really quite a huge problem for general practitioners who are seeing a lot of children, often, well, generally with minor, you know, often viral illnesses. And it's very, very hard for them to spot the child that is seriously ill, who may have leukemia or indeed one of the other childhood cancers. And so this development that this family are starting, you know, has to be welcomed, because it is important for us to increase awareness about how childhood cancer and leukemia presents.
In the case of the Hatherleys, their little lad, he was a lively lad, and then all of a sudden he became lethargic, and his skin sort of changed colour, and that they were, I suppose, the warning signs.
Yes, well, I mean, childhood leukemia, which is the commonest childhood cancer, accounting for about a third of it, is still very rare, but it presents with what we call bone marrow failure. The bone marrow is the blood factory. So very commonly the child will feel increasingly tired. Sometimes they'll come out with little spots, very similar to the spots that you get with certain types of meningitis, and sometimes they'll have infections. But the process is quite a slow one, so perhaps at the first visit to the general practitioner, the mother or father might recognize the child's just not quite got as much energy as usual. And the important thing is for them to, you know, to go back again if the child's not better. If it is a viral illness, it's going to get better in 3 to 5 days. If it is something more serious, then we've got to encourage the children to go back to the general practitioner. I think that's the most important thing.
How common is it that perhaps children might be misdiagnosed? Going back to our conversation here, you know, because children are up one day and down the next, aren't they?
Well, they are. I mean, I think it's pretty unusual for a child with leukemia to have it recognised at the first consultation with the general practitioner, because it's so much more likely to be something else. And the important thing is that, well, for an individual general practitioner, they may only come across one or perhaps two children with cancer or leukemia in the whole of their practice. So it is very, very rare for them.
Do you take Brian Hatherley's point that there's not enough general guidance or indeed publicity about cancer symptoms, like there might be for meningitis, for instance?
Yes, I do. I do take that point, and I think that's something that this will be a welcome development. And we're also particularly anxious with about teenagers presenting early with cancer. That's very important too. I remember one teenager who came to see me. He was told by his general practitioner that teenagers don't get cancer, and it's terribly important for primary care doctors to realize that young people do get cancer, and the important thing is to try and refer them early.
And on the other side of this, is there a danger that campaigns like the one that this father's involved in might make parents a bit paranoid seeing signs of cancer where there aren't any?
Well, there is that is the downside. But I think the benefit, the overall benefit of raising awareness is much stronger than the downside of creating panic. People are, when they go and take their child to the doctor, they are worried that there's something, really sinister wrong with them. And I think it's really important for parents and families to be aware of what the common symptoms are so that they could take their child to the right place early on and get the appropriate treatment. Because, one of the important things to get across is that childhood cancer is very curable. 80% of our patients are alive 5 years after diagnosis. So we need those patients to present early, to come to the right centres for treatment. The treatment, as we've heard, is very intensive often. But early diagnosis has got to be important, I think.
And just tell me finally then, what progress has been made, perhaps in the last 5 years, in terms of treating childhood cancers?
Yes, well, a lot of the progress was made a little bit before that. But over the last 5 years, what we're trying to do is continue to cure as many young people with cancer, but without the long-term effects on their body. So the things that really matter to the patients that I see who have been treated for childhood cancer is, are they fertile? Are they going to be able to have their own children? And will their own children get cancer too? And what we're trying to do with certain types of cancer like Hodgkin's lymphoma, which I'm quite involved in, is decrease the number of children that are at risk of becoming infertile as a result of the treatment. So I think that over the last 5 years, that will probably be the most important advance.
Dr. Wallace, thank you for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Dr. Hamish Wallace from the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health Oncology.